Pastor Wayne, give him a hand, would you please?
Thank you, Pastor Werner. Good morning, everybody. Welcome. It's so nice to see you. What a great, encouraging service it has been thus far. I thank God for his presence, and I thank God for you sincerely to see you here. It does my heart good to connect, to say hello. Even those brief greetings that often happen in the foyer and so on, to me, they're meaningful, just to see your face, to say hello, to acknowledge your presence. And we have a lot of folks who are new, some here this morning who've been here for the very first time, or maybe only your second or third time. Thank you. Thank you for coming. And if you have questions or anything at all that you'd like to know, we'd love to chat with you, love to meet you. And there is pizza with the pastor as well. Right after, if you are so inclined, we'd love to have you if you are new to the church. All right, I want to mention before I get started, Linda Niebohm will be in the foyer to talk to you about Helping Hands. Helping Hands is an amazing ministry where people get on a schedule, and it can be as much or as little as you feel you're able to do, where we take care of folks who are maybe shut in from our church, folks who may need a meal, maybe a little errand, because maybe they're convalescing. Someone is going through a life circumstance, they just need a little bit of love and care. We have a team of people who do that, and they love doing it. Trust me, they love doing it. And so we're kind of revitalizing the team coming out of COVID. Folks continued to do that, but we had to reorganize and revitalize, and so that's happening. Talk to Linda Niebohm in the foyer. If you happen to miss her, call the church office. Go to our website, ssc.church, because you can get connected there, and we'd love to have you as a part of the team. I have to confess that this topic that I started last week about loneliness, about connection, about community, and today's topic, which is let's get together, the blessing of gathering, I'm going to tell you, it has made me think. It's made me think and search my heart and ponder. And I had some great feedback by email, by conversations. I had feedback even preceding last week's sermon. And I really appreciate it. I welcome feedback because it helps us learn. It helps us grow. Thank you for that. And so today I'm going to continue to talk about community. Let's get together. And I can say with all sincerity, if I didn't believe this, I shouldn't be standing here talking about this. But I have searched my heart. I know it is true that one of the greatest joys in life is gathering with others. I believe that with all of my heart. We crave belongingness. We crave a collective belonging, because God has made us that way. We need one another. There are general observations about gathering, which really I really don't have the time, because I want to get to some of the meat of the stuff that I want to say. But I will say that if you study, if you're a student of studying anthropology and humanity and history, you'll know that gathering in its various contexts is absolutely crucial to man's survival. They gather to share, to care, to protect, and to nurture. And anything that is of any benefit, anything that is good, will always result in bringing people together. That is a rule and a principle. Any good idea. If I was to stand up here and say, I have a great idea, I have a great idea, but it fails to bring people together, then I would have to say that's not a good idea. Because good ideas create community. They bring people together. Think about it. Any movement that has benefited society in various ways, what was one characteristic of that movement? It brought people together for a cause. Now, I am going to look at this today from a very distinctly Christian biblical perspective. But in a general sense, I think we could all embrace the concept and the truth that gathering, coming together with people, is something that is powerful. It is something that is needed. It is something that is essential. Culture, that is secular culture, separate from God, secular culture has trumpeted the virtues of rugged individualism and self-determination. And, you know, we may look at that and say, well, there's got to be some kind of virtue in that. I'm going to tell you, I'll say it right up, that it is a myth, it is a lie, and it is a deception. To me, true strength and character is not found in rugged individualism or self-determination, but it is found in our ability to be with others. How we work in community is the essence of true character, good character, and godly character. How we get along, how we build community, how we promote community, and how we gather with community. If you've ever done an application for a job lately, which I'm sure some of you maybe have, isn't it interesting that one of the questions quite often on the application is, do they, or a reference for someone's application, do they get along well with people? Have you ever noticed that? And of course, if you're checking off the box, this is kind of silly. You give yourself a 10 out of 10, right, every time. Of course, I get along great with people. I've never seen anybody say, no, I hate people. I don't like people. I don't like being around people. So leave me alone. No, obviously, we know one of the strengths of character is the ability to be in community. And so to gather is essential. Anything good brings people together. Anything bad fractures, splinters, divides, and isolates. So today, I want to talk specifically about the gathering of believers that we call the church. Let's get together. The church is a gathering of Christ's redeemed people. Now, you might say, and because we think these things through, and I want you to think. I want the wheels of your mental faculties to be turning here. I want you to think about this. And so we might say, yes, okay, what's going to be your main point here? Where are you going with this? And we might say, but the church is more than a gathering of people, is it not? And you might say, more specifically, you might say, but the church is more than the gathering that we see on Sunday morning. And I would say to that, you are correct. It is more. But I would also say that the church is more than a gathering of people, but it is not less than a gathering of people. In fact, I'm going to try to say it more, I say shocking, although I'm usually not that shocking in what I say, but I'll try to say it as succinctly as I can. That if you took Christ-centered, mutually edifying, consistent gathering out of the equation, you do not have a church. You do not have a church without gathering. Because the very essence of a church is to gather. And when Jesus said, I will build my church, the Greek word is ecclesia, which means not just called out. They say, well, oh, that means called the called out ones. There is a sense in which that word means called out, but even more strongly, it means a gathering. It means an assembly. It means people coming together. So I say there is no church if there's no gathering. If it's impossible to say we have a church, but we never see one another. We never gather. We have a church. I don't know what you have, but you don't have a church. Because if it is a church, you gather in Christ's name. That is the essence of what a church is. And there are amazing things that happen. This is what Jesus said. He said, but what about you? He said, this is Matthew 16. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you, that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. I will build my church. I will build my church, my ecclesia, those who are called together, the gathering, the assembly, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. the early church spoke of gathering. And I'm not, it's not my focus today to try to go into some proof text and try to prove to you historically and biblically about how the early church operated and how they gathered, but I will say that it was a part, it was a huge part, it was the essence of their lives. For example, 1 Corinthians 14:26, what then shall we say, brothers and sisters, when you come together? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. I say that we, and I'm speaking to all of us here, those joining online, to all of the believers, I say we need to have a spiritually robust and theologically sound understanding of assembly and gathering. It need not be an afterthought or an option on a checklist or if I have time or yeah, I think it's important, or any of the other nonchalant kind of responses that we could come up with. I believe that it is critical that we have, as followers of Jesus, a very strong theology and a very high value that we say, yeah, oh, gathering? Yes, I believe that God's people must gather. We need to gather. In fact, I love what the 1 Corinthians says. It says, when you come together. So it was assumed and it was practiced. They came together. And I like this. It was not just by chance or just by, you know, accident or like, oh, yeah, maybe today, yes. It was planned. It was thought about. It was predetermined what they would bring to the church service, the gathering. They thought about it. And it was done with intention. It was done with purpose. They said, oh, yeah, the gathering. Oh, yeah, of course. When we come together, we're going to be thinking about what I can bring to the gathering. It was not like, okay, oh, yeah, church. I'm going to try to get to church. I'm going to try to gather. And we'll see what they've got cooked up for me today. What have they got to serve me today? I hope it's good. What's on the menu today? Oh, I don't like those menu selections today. Oh, maybe better luck next time. No, it wasn't that way at all. It was, we're going to gather, and I'm already thinking, I'm already praying about what I can bring, because I'm a part of that gathering. I'm not an offshoot, or I'm not a, you know, some tangential, you know, entity over here. No, I'm not, you know, I am a part of that corporate body. In fact, we come as one voice, as one body. And I don't know if you've thought about this, and may the Holy Spirit impress this on us of how important this is, that you are not just a sort of a component stuck off to the side. No, you are the body of Christ. Every person matters, and when you come together, we come with intention saying, well, I've got something to bring to the gathering. I'm going to bring something, and what is the purpose of the gathering? Now, we could talk about the vertical purpose, which is predominant and a priority and primary, which is to worship Jesus Christ and to be an expression of him, to exalt him, to lift him up. And we could talk about that, and that's primary. Of course, we know that. But let me talk about the horizontal component. The horizontal component of our gathering is this. So everything must be done. Did you catch that? When you come together, you bring something. Why? So that everything that is done, everything must be done so that the church may be built. There's something amazing when gatherings happen the way God has intended for them to happen. Everybody brings something, and we blend our voices together, and we blend our presence together, and Christ is in the midst, and something powerful is present, is the presence of God, and we bring edification, we bring encouragement, we bring example, we bring all of these things, and what is it that happens? People leave that place as they gather, then they're scattered. and then they'll gather again. But as they're scattered, they're saying, oh, wow, I feel like I was built up today. I feel like I was strengthened today. To me, a gathering has not accomplished the will of God unless people have been moved forward in their love for Jesus, in their spiritual strength, in their sense of community, because this is what a gathering is supposed to do. It's not a forced and heavy edict or a legalism given by a pastor trying to prop up his image. I've had to dismiss that. I've had to say, no, no, that's not why I believe this. Is because, you know, like every pastor worth his salt, if he's a good preacher, if he's a good pastor, then the pews are going to be full. So we've got to get the pews full so I look good. Shame. Shame. That would be shameful. That's not the reason why, you know, we get passionate about this. It's not an obligation. It's not a burden. It's not like coming to a performance where we hope that somehow everything that happens up here will somehow trickle down over the edge of the platform and find its way to these poor, desperate, thirsty, barren souls out here. And, you know, no, that's not church either. It is, we all bring something from the front to the back and side to side. We bring a psalm, a hymn, an exhortation, a revelation. We bring something that will encourage one another. And the body of Christ is built up. It's not like going to a movie. Wouldn't that be funny? My sense of humor is a little warped at times. But I was thinking about this and I thought, that'd be so funny. Can you imagine walking into a movie theater? You know how they go into a movie theater? Excuse me. And they sit down and nobody talks and the lights are low. Nobody, can you imagine if movies, they did it like we do at a healthy church? Hey, how you doing, man? How long you been coming here? You know, that kind of feeling. You would never do that in a movie, right? They think you're just weird. So it's not like a movie where we sit down for a performance and we say, oh, and then we slip out while the credits are rolling because we don't want to talk to anybody. We slip out quietly. Church is nothing like that. Church is fellowship and togetherness and exhortation and encouragement and a sharing of our lives and the seeing in our eyes and it's the ministry of exhortation and encouragement and the ministry of touch. You know, I'm sorry, but I'm kind of a touchy person. You better be careful. Don't get around me because I just might, you know, put a hand on your shoulder or something. I'm sorry. If you don't like it, just slap my hand and I'll understand. I know. Yeah, I'm not supposed to do that. But, you know, hand on the shoulder, and I'm careful about handshaking now because I guess we have to be, and that's okay. I'm okay with that. But you know what? This is what church is. We are, and our assembling is a local, visible expression of the body of Christ. Do you think of it that way? We become visible to ourselves. We see the body. We see the body of Christ. We see our brothers and sisters, and it is encouraging. We are gathered in the name of Christ by his grace. It's a time to exalt the one who has saved us, the one who has called us. It's a time to edify others through our example, through our prayer, and through our sharing. You have no idea, folks, how powerful it is. We had all these children here today. For them to look around, you say, well, do I really matter that much? Does this setting really matter that much? You better believe it does, because they look around and they see someone with their hands raised, praising God, singing out the songs and worshiping the Lord together. That makes a powerful impression. One of the most beautiful sights I've ever seen in the church, one of my favorite things, and it happened when we had the recent baptisms. In fact, all these six kids, I thought, or whatever there was that served communion today, were all just recently baptized, which I think is pretty amazing. It's pretty awesome. And one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen is when we say this. We say, okay, folks, as we pray for this child, or as we pray for this person being baptized, whatever, we often say, stretch your hands out towards this person. You say, well, that's just a silly little thing. No, it's not. It's powerful. Because in unison, and I looked across the congregation the other day, I opened up my eyes. I open my eyes when I pray sometimes, of course. I want to see what's going on. And so Jesus did say, watch and pray, right? So I was watching and praying. So people all over the congregation of all ages, of all different backgrounds and of different languages, many your first language is not English. And it was just a beautiful sight all the way at the back, side to side. Everybody was had their hands extended praying. And I thought, what a beautiful picture of unity and grace and togetherness and gathering. You can't convince me. And I don't care what secular culture says. You cannot convince me that that kind of stuff does not matter. Because it does matter. It's powerful. What happens when we come to church? When we gather, we see others. We see others. And when we see others, we have an opportunity to encourage. I don't know about you, but it's pretty hard to encourage a person if you never see that person. It's pretty hard to serve somebody if you're never in somebody's presence. We see one another and we experience one another. I experience you. I experience what's happening in your life. In fact, I believe that every believer has a primary ministry. And I don't know if it's actually a viable, you know, ministry you're going to find listed in the scripture, but I'm going to say this because I made it up, and I'm going to say it's a good ministry, okay? So here's what it is. It's called the ministry of showing up. Everybody should have that ministry because by showing up, we create opportunity for other types of ministry, the ministry of attendance or the ministry of assembly. It's the first thing that the believers learn to do, and you can see it in the early church. The first thing we learn to do is we start showing up. We start gathering. We start coming together. In fact, I have seen that if that ministry, and you might want to call it a discipline. I choose to call it a ministry. If that ministry is not in place, the ministry of showing up, of being there, of gathering is not in place, then I find that usually things begin to slip. Things begin to weaken. Because there's something powerful in our gathering. Here's what the Bible says. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. This is Hebrews 10. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. When we gather, we see others. And did you notice that the scripture makes these two truths synonymous, okay? It connects them very powerfully. And that is, you say, well, one is encouragement, encouraging one another, and the other is gathering. You could say, well, they're two separate entities. Gathering is one thing, and encouragement is another thing. But here is the truth. The very core and essence of gathering is to encourage. And to build up the body of Christ. When we come together, it is to encourage one another. Now, I know there is the vertical component, the glorifying of God, which is primary. We know that. That's said. That's stated. But in the horizontal sphere, in our relationships with others, we are to encourage. And our gathering has, at the very core of our gathering, is to build one another up. Secondly, when we gather, we are seen by others. We are seen by others. You say, well, you know, well, I like that because I want people to see me. No, that not that kind of scene. We are seen. We have the comfort of belonging. We can say, wow, I'm known to these people. They know who I am. And we have accountability. People have the right, because we've gathered, because we've built community, people have the right to speak into our lives. Here's what I want you to know. Without the ministry of attendance, we cannot be known. And if we are not known, we cannot be encouraged. And if we are not encouraged, we will not endure. So it starts with being there. And then the body of Christ does what it does so well, to encourage in the gathering, and mutual encouragement happens, and we are moved forward in our lives and in our walk with God. Hebrews 13:17 says this, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you. As those who must give an account, do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. It's not about control, it's not about coercion, but it's about clarity, commitment, courage to speak into one another's lives, and compassion for one another. There is a network of community. There is a network of accountability, I should say, where we are free to not only encourage, but keep one another accountable so that we might endure and walk with God. This is the power of community. This is the power of gathering. I believe in gathering. Now, I'm going to choose my words carefully here because my wife is here, and since other folks are here, you have a spouse, those who are married, but you know, there are many different types of relationships. You see what I mean as I get into this. And they're all very important. I'm going to pick three. One would be the very close and significant and primary relationship that would be typified by, if you're married, by your spouse. That's very close. Needless to say, that's a priority of closeness and relationship. And if you're not married, maybe it's a close family member, someone. That's a very primary and very close relationship. But then you have also a circle of friends. You say, well, I've got a circle of friends. It could be sort of like a small group that you have, and people that you connect with regularly, that they are also extremely important. Very important to have those friends. And you say, well, shouldn't I be providing everything relational that my husband or my wife needs? And the answer to that is no. There are things that you find in other relationships that are also beneficial and bring blessing into your life. They're friends and people that you connect with who encourage you and keep you accountable. That's very important. But here's the thing. This circle of friends does not detract from that close relationship. It enhances it. It edifies it. It builds it up. It makes it viable and good. It doesn't detract from it. It is in partnership with it, and vice versa. So a strong, close relationship, as in marriage, will build health in you so that you're good in the smaller circle of friends, and they work together. What I'm trying to say is that if you have a close circle of friends that are hurting those close relationships, you better look at that circle of friends, because that's not the way it's supposed to work. They work together to build you up in various ways. But I also must go to the third step. There is the gathered assembly, the larger assembly that we are a part of, to which we have made a covenant commitment to say, I will be a part of that community, and they will be important to me. This is your local church. And again, I apply the principle. This larger gathering provides things that maybe a small circle of friends. You say, oh, Pastor Wayne, I've got a small circle group. I don't need the larger gathering. I don't need, you're mistaken. There, as important as that circle is, there are things that it cannot do that the larger body of Christ can do. You see, they help one another. They edify and enhance one another. The close relationship, the circle of friends, and the larger body of Christ. What I'm trying to say is that these are all extremely important in our lives. And any one relationship, group, or setting, or context should not be detracting from the other. You say, well, I've got a small group, and you know what? Ever since I've been in that small group, I feel less connected with the larger body of the church. That's not the way it's supposed to work. If something is pulling you away, then it's not meant to pull you away from those vital and critical relationships, one being the body of Christ. If it's pulling you away from the body, it's not healthy. If it's detracting from your marriage, it's not healthy. It's supposed to build up these relationships in your life. If it's out of sync and out of harmony and it's causing friction and it's causing frustration, you better put your relationships under the microscope, God's microscope, and say, what's wrong with this? Because it is supposed to build up these areas of my life. My friends make me appreciate my church family even more. And my church family makes me appreciate my friends more and makes me love my wife more. They all work together. You see, coming together is critical. Small groups are critical and vital. In fact, I'll say this. Men, listen to me. There are three men's meetings that are coming up over the next couple of months in three different homes in our church. You can get the information on our website, ssc.church, on our social media, Instagram, Facebook, and so on. And you need to find those dates. You need to mark that down in your calendar, and you need to make, look at me, just telling you what to do. Isn't that awful? But you need to put it in your calendar and say, I'm going to get to at least one of those, maybe more. And I'm going to go and I'm going to fellowship with those guys. And we're going to encourage one another. Three great meetings. The women have more coming. Now, the women, men, they're way down the road. They're way farther down the road than us, men, okay? No surprise there, right? They're just way ahead. They've had meetings already, and they've got more meetings coming up. Women, find out where those meetings are. Go to our webpage. Go to our social media. Find out. Put it in your calendar and go. Young adults have a great gathering times on Friday nights. These times are very, very critical and very important. Folks, let's get together. I'm going to ask Jill to come if she would right now. We believe in the blessing and the power of God's gathered people. We believe that God blesses gathering, where we see one another, where we encourage one another. As a matter of fact, if you look at all the various elements of faith, prayer, scripture reading, teaching, fellowship, singing, giving, care, response to need, greeting, welcoming, affirming, baptism, communion, what is the common denominator in all those things? You have to gather, you have to be with people to make that happen. You have to be with people to make those things happen. We pray together. We have communion together. We sing together. You know, one of the most beautiful things in a church is when we hear you singing. You know, the action is not up here, folks. The action is down there. In fact, it's all over everywhere. It's not a performance, but when we hear you singing, lifting up your voice in unison, and we see those eyes sparkle, and we see those hands raised, and we see that joy in your spirit, this is what gathering is all about. It's powerful. It's amazing. It's encouraging. I always leave after a gathering, and it could be a smaller gathering, could be this context of gathering. I always leave feeling very encouraged because I see... Why gather? Because I see you. I see the senior with his or her cane coming to church, gathering with the people of God. And I think, wow, that's amazing. They love God's people. I see a new family that has come from another nation halfway around the world, and they're looking for fellowship as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I say, wow, that's great. Let's meet these folks. Let's have some fellowship. I see a single parent who's struggling to make ends meet, but she loves Jesus, or he loves Jesus, bringing their children to church. I see James, who's just been laid off of work, and he needs some prayer, needs some care and some support, needs somebody to listen and assure him that it's going to be okay. I see Rachel, who's going in for treatment for cancer, and she needs her church family to stand with her, to pray with her, to love her, and to help her through this. I see Joan, who just got a good report from her doctor and said, you're on the road to recovery. Things are going well. I look around and I see, and you say, well, does that matter? You better believe it matters. Because I'm not a rugged individualist, and I'm not trying to have self-determination. I need the body. You bless me. I hope I can bring something to the body. We are a corporate expression of the goodness and the grace of God. I feel the love and the warmth of someone's hand on my shoulder that says, you matter to me, you care. I feel the camaraderie as we share certain concerns. I feel the comfort and support of others. I can give my time to listen. I can give my abilities to serve in the ministry. I can give my resources to support ministry financially. I experience the presence of God with others and the stirring of God's call to mission. I see how God moves you as you pray, and I say, find myself saying, God, may I also be moved. I see people like Pastor Jim, who faithfully has served the Lord for all of his life, and he's well into his upper 80s now, and you can count on Pastor Jim being here. Just looking at Jim in the gathering encourages my heart. And I say, wow, I'm so glad that he belongs to us, and we belong together, and we're part of the gathering. The gathering matters, folks. We are the church. It is a gathering. You know, I sometimes feel like my little stream of praise it can be so easily disrupted, you know, like a little bit of debris falls in that stream and a little bit of trouble, a little bit of frustration, and my stream of praise can feel so disrupted at times. But I bring my little stream of praise into the house of God, and I begin to sing, and guess what happens? You bring your little stream of praise, and you bring your little stream of praise. This is why this is so important, folks. It's not a performance up here. This is why from front to back, this place is set aside, or wherever we would gather, to give praise to God. You bring your little stream of praise, and your little stream of praise, and your stream joins with my stream, and your stream of praise joins with that stream, and next thing you know, you got like a mighty river of praise. Did you see it happen this morning? Did you not see that? Is that not important to you? Is that not valuable? As people begin to praise God, all of a sudden it rises, that encouragement rises, and the singing rises, and we see the presence of God working and moving in the lives of people, and we say, oh, wow, this gathering is so encouraging. And folks, that's exactly what Jesus and the Word of God connected with gathering, so that the body may be built up. Isn't it strange that when we get discouraged, one of the first things that we might contemplate doing is just isolating? I think the enemy knows that is like a death knell, because in the presence of others, when we gather, we are greatly encouraged. I experience the presence of God. I asked Jill to sing this chorus, and I want you to sing it. I want to hear your voice. And when we come to the bridge part, we're going to sing it plural, not singular. We're going to sing it plural. We're going to sing we, not I. I'm going to ask you to stand right now, and we're going to get our streams of praise one more time to join together as a one voice expression of the greatness of God. Would you sing it? Oh,
there is no one like you. There is none beside you.
Open up.
Open up my eyes in wonder.
And show
me who you are, and fill me with your heart, and lead me in your love.
Sing it again. God sparks something in your heart. It says, wow, yeah, I need it. I need my brothers and sisters in Christ. Shall we pray? Lord, impress on us, O God, the truths that we need in our lives. Quiet the dissenting voices and the frustrations and things that present themselves as obstacles. Help us, Lord, to see what will benefit not just our lives, but benefit and build up the body of Christ. Thank you for every person. And when we gather, Lord, every time we gather, may you be glorified and may the body of Christ be built up, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. God bless you.